Hi, welcome to On Writing, your fortnightly podcast about online writing communities and the terrible advice they give and occasionally the terrible products they produce. My name is Sean, he, him.
I am Chad, he, him.
I'm MJ, she, her.
And we are going to the people. I think it's nine. Nine Reddits, nine Discords, nine Tumblrs, right?
What's really great is that, like, anytime I find out at, like, the last minute when Sean, like, walks in and I'm in my underwear playing, like, RC Airplanes, he's like, you know, I got a cast in 5 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, I just got to put my shoes on. and he goes,
yeah, I'm basically out the door already.
Yeah. And he's all like, hey, you know, this is to the people, right? You got your five? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm fine. So have you actually found them? No, Reddit's got my back.
Yeah, Reddit has you. That's the thing, is that it's never hard to do it to the people. That's why we don't do them every week, because they're too easy, right? It's literally trip and fall over content.
Taking another Homer Simpson metaphor, or analogy, I suppose, since that's what I totally ripped off from The Simpsons there. When it comes to bad writing ideas, Reddit is just the peak of being strapped down and the donut machine just cramming bad writing advice into your mouth. And you're like, more.
Satan's like, what? At some point, it's going to be torture, okay?
metaphor is a great place for me to start off on, by the way. And for those of you that don't know what a To the People is, this is literally where we just let the people speak for themselves. And you can go, oh, dear Christ, I shouldn't hang out with those people. Mm-hmm. They are actually doing harm to me as a writer.
And self-harm, I would say. There's digital self-harm going on here.
Yeah.
I want to point out, before I share this one, it's consistent because the topic is metaphors. Okay.
But I see how you got that in.
Yeah, as one writer points out, like, this person is such a bad writer that, like, in their rant, they couldn't actually identify, like, conflict or resolution about their rant. Mm-hmm. Right? What's the actual issue or conflict you're facing other than the fact that you don't like your professor's definitions? We'll call them Donnie Pop 8292. My teacher is making my life hell because he insists there is a consistent definition for symbolism versus metaphor. I have bad fucking news for you. There is.
It's not just what you're vibing with that day. They actually, like, stay the way they are.
Yeah. It's not just the signs.
I know this is a new age, new time, new types of expressions, but, like, this idea of, like, just walking into your English or lit class and just being like, I'm feeling definition fluid today. Like, that's not how it works. Right? Like, and you should be, like, the most aghast and conservative about this, where you're like, words mean words. They can't have fluidity. Why? Because, like, your paycheck depends on people knowing what the fuck you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the other thing is a fucking absurd hill to die on, because there is a lot of space where there's, like, flexibility of definition, right? Like, if you're talking about something in superposition, like, what does superpositionality mean in English, right? What does it mean for things to be occluded or in syzygy, right?
I know this. It's when something can be posited above 3,000 feet. It's got a superpositor in it.
And then after that, it's hyperposed.
And then the super mile high club.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So any fan fiction that takes place, like, near the stratosphere, that's hyperpositioned.
But yeah, there's all these good words that have all these fucking, all this, like, flexibility and ambiguity and multifariousness, right? Like, we talked about, like, pamphlet, right? Like, that's a super cool word. It can mean all sorts of cool things because it refers to this one specific phenomenon that is associated with all these other, like, the qualia of physical writing, right? Super neat. Metaphor and symbolism, pretty concrete definitions, because you just need them to talk about other things. They're literally meta language, right? Mm-hmm. They're not for signifying a specific object. They're for talking about references to other objects.
Sean's also gotten me in trouble because ever since he introduced me to that goddamn word pamplosexual, I'm not allowed at, like, the tour guide office anymore.
You go to a hotel and you're like, ooh la la, seeing the big stack of, like, what to do in the area.
Yeah, and I'm also, like, getting judgy of these people too, because I'm like, oh, so you're one of those people. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? You got a lot of pamphlets. I'm just saying. Would you say that some of these come from the same company? What?
God. Yes.
So what this person says is a symbol and a metaphor are different things. Okay. So like right out the gate, you've just established that they need different definitions. Right.
Yeah.
So like if anybody listening is like still not caught up, if they're like, I don't know, I'm not following what the issue is. Like, something is considered different when you have to define it with not the same terms. Okay. Right. A symbol and a metaphor are different things. Problems come in when this is a creative writing class. No, this is where that solution calcifies. The problem is he keeps coming back to a symbol is when a character or thing is used to represent something else, and a metaphor is used to compare two things that are opposite or unrelated. Well, a symbol can represent something entirely unrelated. An upside down pineapple means come into my house and pork my wife.
Okay, it doesn't mean that. It means, okay, please don't actually do that, because that would be sexual assault, right?
SpongeBob SquarePants, like taken the wrong way, Jesus.
How many Nintendo Switches does this guy own?
Yeah, a lot. But yeah, no, upside down pineapple means swinger shit, right? But that definitely doesn't mean go into their house and just fuck their wife, because again, that would be assault. Don't do that.
But it's just also funny that like it's the first thing that he jumps onto. Right, it's all like of all the symbols out there, right? And we're talking like literary, so he jumps way past like the oranges, and it's just like straight to cuck shit. This dude is getting cucked so often by his fucking creative writing professor that when he thinks of symbolism, he's all like, okay, keychains. No, that I have too much involvement in this. Upside down pineapples. Yeah, there we go.
I think the easiest way to fucking talk about this is something like, let's have a concrete example, right? So we have fucking Great Gatsby, which you've read because you've been a high schooler at some point, dear listener, almost certainly. And if you are still a high schooler, I'm sorry, you're going to have to read Great Gatsby, right? There's a lot of things that are metaphors in that. Like, Daisy Ridley is a daisy, right? Not Daisy Ridley, sorry. Daisy Buchanan, that's very funny, where it always goes back to fucking Star Wars, where she's, like, pure and white on the inside, but she has a heart that's dedicated to gold.
Star Wars was inspired by?
The holy manifestation of truth is delivered to the Prophet Muhammad.
Vietnam.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, there we go. That's an ongoing thing between me and Sean and and also America from like 1963 and 1975.
Yeah, you're like, this is giving some real Vietnam vibes, and it's like a fucking Wendy's like DoorDash menu, and I'm like, Chad, no.
I swear to God, there's gotta be an episode about this, and like, mark my words, there probably will be, because like this all started with me watching fucking Top Gun, not Maverick, Top Gun. And like, I walked away from that, and I hit Sean with the most terrifying sentence he's ever heard. I'm like, Sean, did you know Top Gun is Antifa? And he went, what the fuck are you talking about?
And it's all like, dot, 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 go on.
Yeah, but like, you could see Sean like sitting there, like he's trying to glue the last arm on a jean stealer. And I'm like, Top Gun is Antifa. And he's all like, okay. And he just puts it down. I need
this
you
is gonna
to
take a minute, isn't it?
And like, just like ever since then, like everything, I'm like sitting there. Well, kind of like my uncle, I'm sitting there drawing the jungles of Vietnam with my mashed potatoes now.
Oh God.
I have a little less Agent Orange. No, you are completely right, but it's also funny that like somehow something has like slipped off the drivetrain with this particular Donnie. Because well, a symbol can represent something entirely unrelated. An upside down pineapple means come into my home and pork my wife. That's not symbolism. That's a signal.
Yeah, it's a signifier, right? Like, Darren, it's literally a Derridian text, right? An image that correlates to a fucking set of actions.
Okay. Yeah, like, we can say the word symbol, but that's not what symbolism is. This is right back to when the pugilist was all like, you're working on a treatment, first or second. Did you just fucking confuse treatment for draft?
Yeah. I mean, again, but like we can go back to it and we can see that things there are metaphors where things are things, right? That it's a metaphor is literally where you make a statement that something is something else, right?
Yeah.
That's all it needs to be.
Yeah, it's kind of like how like the word literally is a metaphor for literally.
Oh God, we're not doing like synecdoche. I'm not going into that. No. Symbolism is the broader bucket, right? Symbolism is anything where you're like doing one thing, standing in for another thing, right? That includes things like synecdoche and metonym and metaphor and like a lot of elusive language, right? Anytime you're talking about something that's like referential or like beyond the scope of the thing being literally the thing it is, right? That's all symbolism. So of course they're different things because fucking yes, all fucking metaphors are going to be some kind of symbolism. Congratulations. Like that's just how language works. But not all fucking symbolism is going to be metaphor. And you need to know the difference because fucking not all combustible products are gasoline. You should not put fucking like TNT in your engine and you should not put diesel in your fucking engine unless you have a diesel car. And you should not put gasoline in your diesel engine just because it's cheaper this week or whatever, right?
So there's a really simple test. So always remember that the oranges, we mentioned it just a second ago, and we bring it up a lot, but it's the one you're all familiar with and Peter Griffin didn't care for. Oranges are symbolic of death in The Godfather. It's like the most blatant symbolism like in the history of cinema. Nobody at any point in that movie says somebody got oranged. And like, just if you ever find your somehow, if you ever Donnie your way into a Donnie cube, right, and you're like, shit, is this symbolism? Imagine if a character would say somebody got oranged. I guess that kind of gets a little into diegesis there. Like, are the characters aware of the symbolism? But like, okay, if you know what diegesis is, then like you've got symbolism and metaphors down pat. And the best part is that he gets exasperated. So where's the line?
When it's not a statement, right? Like when something simply is the thing, as opposed to someone saying like, fucking oceans or battlefields, right? Like, it's not complicated. It's literally when someone does the speech act of writing it down and saying, okay, fuck this Donnie, I fucking...
Oh, yeah. And I can't work with well generally because he won't let me. An action can be a symbol and a thing can be metaphorical. Where is the line? I feel stupid and I'm frustrated because I need to finish these classes. I don't think you're going to finish these classes, Donnie.
I think they will. I think they'll just get like a BC slash grade and like move him on with this shit. Because I don't want to have this kid in my class.
The idea of like a 94 style border security just waving him through, being like, dude, I don't have time for a failing student. I didn't take creative writing to fucking help remedial students. Get the fuck through here.
Yeah, get out of my shit.
You are another English fucking PhD's problem.
MJ, have you ever dealt with like this guy?
I mean, I've definitely had people disagree with me on a variety of things when I tried to like explain them and in their essays, a wide variety.
On the bright side, there's one person that decides to just fucking Kool-Aid man in here with words that are meant to trigger Sean. Like this does not require serious, like, critical evaluation. Some dude is just failing at like the most basic level. It's like, I need you to go to the store and get some eggs. And they come back and they're like, they said they don't sell vegetarian food. And you're like, what the fuck does any of that mean? This person goes, this is a structuralist view because I'm fancy. Why are you invoking structuralism?
It's not a structuralist view to argue words have fucking definitions that are fucking like inclusive of each other, right? Like, this is not an argument from structuralism, right? Right. You're like, words have meaning. I'm a structuralist now. It's like, I mean, I guess we're all fucking gross structuralists.
Oh, if you want to talk about Sean Bate, this like directly correlates to this other conversation I found where somebody went, hey, so like, what is Trotskyism? And somebody goes, Well, as a Trotskyite, let me try to explain it to you. And, like, I'm fucking dying because, like, he's saying that as though, like, he hangs out with other Trotskyites, right? And they, like, inform each other. And rather than, like, he played Hearts of Iron 4 and took over the Soviet Union as Trotsky. And it's all like, yeah, that's kind of who I vibe with.
Yeah, the 25th International will lead to the glorious Republic of Workers any second now. Any second.
Oh, that does remind me. Hearts of Iron has the greatest pop-up message for you specifically. It says, like, the 4th International takes place in London. And your only option is, how many internationals are there going to be?
Yeah.
But then the guy goes, simile, he fought like a lion. It's a comparison of one thing to another. Metaphor, the warrior let out a lion's roar. The thing is said to be a thing, but it's not, to illustrate equality. Symbol, Mr. Grouch had a Fabergé egg on his dining room table. The Fabergé egg symbolizes Mr. Grouch's wealth. It's a tangible thing in the story. And is meant to illustrate something without stating it outright. Okay, well, that's not quite symbolism either, dude.
It's a close enough proxy that, like,
it's close enough to no. Okay, but, like, Donnie needs help. Okay,
Donnie does
he needs
need
not
help.
Close enough, right? Yeah, he needs oranges. He needs okay. Go watch The Departed. When somebody has an X on them and they die, that's symbolism.
Or when there's a rat, that's also that, when rat is
yeah. Notice metaphor. When everybody called Matt Damon rat. Symbolism. When rat appeared next when to rat, Matt Damon. Yeah.
There you go. Easy. Now, Marjorie, I think you've got some good symbolism and metaphor for us, right?
Oh, no, I don't. But I have bad symbolism. That's what you mean, that we're going to play.
Yes, we're going to. This is the game we're now
the
playing.
Opposite yeah. game. So, folks, I have joined Tumblr, like, super late in life. And in Tumblr's life and my life, both. And I'm looking for, like, desperately for, like, dancers and pole dancers specifically. But all, like, you know, ballet dancers are cool. I'd like to avoid ballet because I have a history with ballet and I, like, love it. But, like, I'm kind of, like, it's a whole thing of abuse and whatnot, like, eating disorders. But, no, so I'm searching on Tumblr for posts about dancing, looking at, like, dancing tags. And I come across this thing, and I'll share it in. I shared it in our Discord, in our podcast Discord. Where someone shared a poem, and I'm the audience for this, like, poetry about dance, like, I'm your girl. I love dance. I love poetry. Give it to me. But this
you literally
poem,
bought, like, two books of, like, dance essays, like, last week, right?
Like, I have an entire shelf.
Unfortunately for me, MJ's description of ballet just filled this entire story in my head of, like, MJ enthusiastically showing up for, like, a ballet class. And, like, some weird dude from the Balkans is loading girls on a truck, and she's just like, well, this has a lot less finger banging from my lacunas than I was led to believe.
But no, ballet is bad, and
there's actually, like, a decent, like, documentary out there that you should go check out that I will find and link for you if you're interested, because it's worth watching, and not a lot of people, like, cover it.
Yeah, ballet is, like, unsafe at any speed, right? Where it's like, oh, it turns out there's no such thing as good ballet. Even if you don't do, like, blackface and child abuse, it's still just bad.
I guess it basically just comes down to the fact that, like, anything that makes a lot of money by getting, like, young girls in leotards is just bad news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I would agree categorically. Like, let's not do that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay. So, I was looking on Tumblr for not ballet posts, because I don't need to see those, even because I've been obsessed with ballet and it's bad. Don't get obsessed with ballet. Except the new ballet at SF Ballet looks really good. It's got Frida Kahlo pieces and I really want to see it. And this is, like, the thing, like, I'm like, fuck you ballet, but this other thing, like this, you know, Dracula thing or this, like, Romeo and Juliet thing. Anyway, this poem, they gives me a poem, and the poem is She Pole Dances to Gospel Hymns by Andrea Gibson. And I'm like, yes, a dance poem. It's pole dancing. And the rest of the poem is not about pole dancing. And I'm like, okay, list poems, catalogs, like, sure. But, like, I'm not, this is not for me. Like, why are you doing, like, why didn't you tell me more about the pole dancing to gospel hymns? Why was it, like, just a throwaway line? And I want, like, tell me about that.
Yeah, well, especially since that first line rules.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is that it's just a banger first line. We were talking about fucking episode titles, like, to you 2,000 years from now, right? That rocks. I wish it wasn't associated with fucking Attack on Titan, right?
The idea of, like, a man one day writing, "Call me Ishmael." So anyway, on that dark and stormy night, right? And it's like, yeah. Whoa, hang on a second. And he's all like, "And did you ever wonder how exactly it is that you make, you know, a ladle?" No, no, let's go back to the "call me Ishmael" part. No, no, we're past that, son.
So I would love to love this poem. I'm in the audience for this, and I really want to like, but the rest of the poem is like just a list of like things she likes about this girl, which is rad. I love like gayness, but some of the stuff is like not good. Like some of the, I gotta find this one line. Where the fuck did it go? She's freaking awesome.
Oh, that's the whole,
she's
holy
freaking
shit.
Awesome.
Okay. You know, when I was writing Most Noble Animal, I was like fucking sitting there in the trench. I was like Dr. Frankenstein, like hand spading the corpse out of the grave while like trying to wire up the electricity and like do everything else, because my dude is this little fucking hunchback dude that is just not nearly as helpful as advertised, just so that I can string together like one stanza of an Irish poem. This person's all like, "Chicks are cool."
And like, it sounds freaking awesome, someone who pole dances to gospel hymns. And by the way, like several people have named their Tumblr this as a reference to the poem, and they're not also like not about dance generally speaking, and I'm like, god damn it. So I'm still trying to navigate Tumblr. I really love it. I need to get rid of like the porn with dicks, because I like porn without dicks, and like I don't want to filter out like the titties and like everything else, but like the dicks can go. Like please, I just want single girl or girl on girl. That's it. Tumblr, we need to have like an understanding about this.
And Tumblr, and obviously Tumblr's going through the thing with like what's it called, cast off or cast box or whatever the fuck with the oh boy, another stupid Tumblr civil war. Like I wonder if I'm gonna get my like fucking fourth or fifth Tumblr account banned. That let's find out.
What's killing me about this, since MJ was kind enough to link this to us, is that "she pole dances to gospel hymns" sounds like the opening to a McCarthy chapter.
It super mm-hmm. does.
Yeah.
And so I can see it that like, oh, okay. So MJ's first mistake here, and this is on you, actual skill issue, was that you went on the internet and you went to a place where like people hang out without like barbed wire fences mm-hmm. or any mm-hmm. type of structure, and like thought that like a foundational thesis statement would in any way be relevant to anything else. And it's all like, nah, baby, we're just free forming this shit. We are pantsing it all the way to the finish line. "She pole dances to gospel hymns." I'm already done with that. I forgot what she did. She dance? I don't know. She may dance. Look, I'm a reader. I like The Great Gatsby. I know it's probably hip hop that she dances to. Yeah. And then it just, yeah, no, then with a McCarthy opening, the rest of it has nothing to do with that. There is no hauntology of that opening line in this at all. This is just the type of poem that MJ is like, please stop writing these. Mm-hmm. Right? It's all like, guys, hold the fucking phones. I hit puberty and I found out my genitals exist.
Because I mean, well, most love poem is about the poet and not about the beloved. Like this poem is like a perfect example of like, this is about how you feel about this person, not about what this person is actually like doing. And they also like, sadly, because I discovered that he's a terrible rapist, like they mention Neruda in this poem,
mm-hmm.
which you don't mention a better poet in your poem.
I was gonna bring that up in reference to Chad saying there's like no hauntology. It's like, check out those last two stanzas. She just fucking fears it massively.
Yeah, and the Berlin Wall. We're doing Neruda and the Berlin Wall.
Yes.
And Pac-Man and what was the other one? Batman and Robin?
the thing I will say is like in passing defense of Andrea Gibson, she is mostly like a spoken word and slam poet, which is like a vibe, right? But it's not this vibe.
Well, I mean, maybe this is like indicative of my like upsetness with the poetry scene. I'm on like a submitting sabbatical. I'm like annoyed with poetry right now, because like it is this like fixation on this like attention deficit, like one thing then the next thing. It's all about these list poems that cover like a large amount of time or lots of different things, instead of like, can you think about one thing for like one stanza? Like just a stanza, like just a few lines together, focus on the dancing part. And it's like, No, we don't want that anymore. This is not what poetry is anymore. We don't want like you to fixate and obsess about one thing. We want you to list a bunch of stuff and say they're freaking awesome.
This admittedly is like 12 years old, write.
Oh, I'm sure Andrea Gibson has written like so many better things. She's like the fucking poet laureate of Colorado right now. Like, I know this career has gotten better. That's why I'm able to like tear like this person apart, because they're super successful in a way that I will never be. But this poem is bad, and you could have like lots of great poems, but this poem is bad, and I wanted to like it. I really desperately wanted to like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and that's so that's one of the great things about successful people, is that like they're full of bad things that we can always go back and attack, so that we can like pluck them from heaven and bring them back down here for a while. I got that book of short stories about like post-apocalyptia, the one that has the Italian futurist short story. I know those sound like exciting words to some people. You're wrong. If you didn't hear that episode, it's terrible.
Don't Italian futurism. Not once. Not even once.
But in it is also I'm like four stories deep in it, and like not one of them has like actually been about post-apocalyptia, which is like. Even the cover is all like, do you like Fallout in the Road? And I'm like, hell yeah. And they're like, well, this is fucking nothing like that. the first one is Stephen King just writing about like a dude who is a genius that was going to cure war and accidentally gave everybody Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm like, you didn't hit a home run that time, Stephen. And then he's all like, well, let me tell you about this lady who didn't like Cujo, but didn't like the Shawshank Redemption.
You told us that one already, Stephen.
Yeah, in my head, that's his defense to every criticism. Even though, okay, here's something I do know about Stephen King. He's a nice, charming, witty guy, and he'll have more comebacks. But like in my Chad verse here, he's actually a very insecure rich dude.
He's not that fucking good on Twitter. I gotta say, he's pretty low tier.
No, Twitter is like very much a fucking skill, and like I don't know, for somebody as observational as him, he's got to read some drill, man.
Yeah, he needs some drill, needs some Pikachu, needs some like, if you are going in there, I will face God and walk backwards into hell. Like that's what you need in your life, right?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, take that a step further. Write me a post-apocalyptia story about his fucking Betsy Ross museum tweet, man.
Buddy, they don't even let me fuck the ashes of the flag. Spoiler for drill tweets, I guess. I do like that I knew exactly which fucking one you're talking about.
Well, you know what's actually really funny? You can actually study that one. As like a writer, study why that works as a micro story,
right? Because
yeah, like it literally has setup, fucking conflict, twist, resolution,
suspended resolution, because no one gets to fuck the flag.
Yeah, and like the funny thing is that like if any part of that tweet was missing, it would fall apart and wouldn't be funny.
It wouldn't work.
Right, because the whole tweet, I fucking have the thing basically memorized, is working another day as security guard at the Betsy Ross Museum, everybody asking if they can fuck the flag. Okay, that's absurd, and there are some people who are going to, like, find that kind of funny, but it's stupid. The follow-up of, buddy, they won't even let me fuck the flag. Holy shit!
Ah, immaculate. Okay, here, you know what? I've got some people in that museum. I've got some Dannys right here. So what I did is I went on r/writing and I sorted by controversial, because I wanted to think, what do people like feel about these things? A lot of the time it's the biggest genre I've seen was like, I don't get trigger warnings, I feel like they're spoilers, which is like, no, it's not. Why is this complicated?
You know what's really funny? Okay, I'm sick of that like debate happening, especially because when you pull the mask off like Scooby-Doo, you're like, oh, let's see who the villain really is. The culture war.
Well, it's always fucking rape, right? It's always like, I think it should be good. I think that I should be allowed to have a surprise rape in the middle of my book that people are astonished by, and it's and the fact of its revelation makes my story better. And I'm like, buddy,
okay, Anne Rice, calm down. Exactly. Anne Rice.
Well, I was gonna say that's when you stop and you go, Out of curiosity, how many videos about Hema and sword fighting have you submitted to
YouTube? Yeah, how strong are your opinions about, like, space marines? Just low-key, right?
Without naming names to directly call them out, my favorite thing about the entire controversy about that novel that he wrote is that, like, rather than, like, he blew way past the trigger warning part to being like, at what point can the man get over doing the rape and become a hero?
Yeah. Jesus wept.
But how many roads must a rapist walk before you'll call him a toad?
Yeah. the whole premise of these things is that it's not, like, for you, the writer, right? It's for people who will, like, it's a fucking good agreement, because someone who reads those, who would need those warnings, is going to one star your book after getting to that part, right? They're gonna do not finish, one star, had a fucking graphic rape scene, had, like, child sexual assault in the background, for no reason, right? Like, had violence to children, violence to animals, right? There's, like, the whole, like, did they kill the dog thing, that a lot of people just won't watch a thing where people kill the dog, and it's like, it happens all the time just out of nowhere in fucking film, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's a ton of horror movies that they just, like, yes, I will just kill the dog for no reason, right?
Well, they do it to, like, in horror, at least it's like, we don't want to kill a person yet, we want to, like, scare you that a person is gonna get killed. We got to lead in with an animal.
Exactly.
There is at least one time when it was, like, totally chill and kind of fucking hilarious, and that was in The Lost World. And part of it is because, okay, I'm sorry for those of you that are, like, huffing the fucking deepest, purest strain imported straight from Hindustan fucking saffron copium, because you're like, well, you have to admit it was better than Jurassic World and its sequels. No, it also fucking sucked. That was a shitty movie. Right. Well, if you take out the gymnastic part, then you're left with, like, another 89 minutes of shitty movie. Right, where it's all like, let's take all the wonder and mystique and have Vince Vaughn lecture us on animal conservation.
Fucking thing about it is, like, you don't want to get the one-star review, right? Yeah, Do you want to get the one-star review? No, then you should disclose that there's, like, medical abuse and violence to a child, and then the person who's like, those things have factored in their life in a way that impacted them isn't going to give a one-star review to your book, and instead you're going to have more five-star reviews. It's not going to fall off Goodreads, and you're going to be, like, ranked number 247th in, like, European-themed fantasy progression novels. Why is that not a good thing for you? I don't get it. Like, literally, trigger warnings are a marketing fucking mechanism, right? They're literally it's the best marketing thing ever. It's keeping it to your audience, right?
And the way I look at it, too, is that So like, the anti, I like to think of it more as, like, content advisories, right?
Yeah.
And I was, like, 14 when I realized that books need content advisories. And I've told the story before, but it was when I was all like, this romance section sure is fucking large. Let's see what's actually in these romance books. And I open up to a random page, and it's all like, and then he thrust his meaty girth fully into and past her maidenhead, silked. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I dropped it, and I went, and there was, like, this Barnes & Noble employee that's all like, are you okay? It's porn! You're just letting me walk through a porn aisle!
It's like the dicks on Tumblr. You can't fucking
avoid it. It's just suddenly there, yeah.
Why is there a dick on my fucking For You page? Right.
So like, yeah, no, things absolutely deserve, like, content advisories. And like, you're being disingenuous. You can't be so, like, zero-sum about everything, right? Somebody walks in and they go, hey, I was, like, really enjoying this book. I was really enjoying this book until just, like, suddenly all of the child abuse started happening in, like, chapter 47 out of 60.
Yes, okay? Exactly.
And, like, I would have appreciated, like, a heads up, right?
We have a perfect concrete example of this. So we've recommended before the Louis Bujold series, Vorkosigan Saga, right?
Super good. It's so hilarious.
It's like 14 perfect books and one complete shit book. So, like, you have the first one of them. We sent it to you, Chad. And there are, like, swashbuckling palace intrigues, mill space shit where you're like, oh yeah, I love about like weird realpolitik with like trying to negotiate with like eugenic space feudalism. And I'm like, oh, this rocks. And then literally like book fucking 10 or 11 out of nowhere turns into like fully described like torture porn. Like, I'm not even kidding, where it just becomes Audition for a while. Right.
Yeah.
And like, content warning, don't watch Audition. Right. And we're both, MJ and I have like seen Audition. Right. Like, we've fucking seen like a lot of this scary shit. I fucking like have watched Serbian film and all the fucking Human Centipede movies up to like, I don't know, 2 years ago. So if there was another one made past that, I haven't seen that.
I love the idea that Sean is on like Human Centipede 6 going, please be about something else.
Well, I'm just saying that like, if you fucking tell me I'm about to watch Human Centipede, I'm like, all right, they're about to get all stitched up. I wonder how many it'll be this time. Oh, it's a million people. Wow. Right. Like, that must have taken a really fucking long time. Right.
Maybe that's the other great part, is when Sean leans into MJ and goes, actually, this is more like Human Millipede.
Yeah, it's actually.
But
yeah, we're actually in
imagine,
like,
imagine just for instance, if Hostel, you've seen Hostel, right, Sean?
Yes,
I have too. Yeah.
We were talking about it in our least favorite Eli Roth movies.
Knock Knock is my favorite Eli Roth movie, by the way.
Well, imagine if Hostel like wasn't legally allowed to advertise what it is or what it's about, and you basically just had to turn it on HBO Blind and watch it.
Well, that's exactly the thing that we've seen, like the movies that are like Watership Down, Antichrist, Last Unicorn, right? There's a lot, or even shit like Ninja Scroll and Akira, where it's like, oh, it's a cartoon, it's fine, right? And then the fucking mom comes to you and is like, I am going to sue you, Blockbuster, for letting me rent Akira and show it to my fucking 9-year-old.
I had a moment of fucking revelation a couple months ago with my brother, because so years and years and years ago, when I was in high school, I brought my girlfriend over. And she turned on this Japanese animated film, and my brother was enthralled, and I was watching it while like trying to put the moves on my girlfriend, and I kept like side-eyeing, distracted, because I'm like, this is like insanely violent. Holy shit. I'm like, fucking arms are flying. There was no build-up to this. Everything's just kind of fine, and like some feudal Japanese dudes come out and just start cutting people apart, and they turn into like fucking red volcanoes and shit. What the fuck is going on? And she's like, that's just how they are.
Jesus.
And then for years, I was all like, hey, Rico, what the fuck was that movie? And he goes, I don't remember. I think it was Ninja Scroll.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh, that would make sense. I've heard about that. He goes, but it could be this one or that one. But we couldn't narrow down what it was, and I would look up like clips of Ninja Scroll, and I go, this doesn't quite look like it. And son of a bitch, as I'm in the theater, it's fucking Princess Mononoke.
That's so funny. Okay, but I have to give my story in response to that, because I have literally done that maneuver. I got Ninja Scroll out from the fucking like Hollywood Video when I was 11 and started watching it with my whole family.
With the family, not alone.
Yes, with Kevin and my mom and my dad, both of you who have met. What happens in like 8 minutes in Ninja Scroll, Marjorie?
Let's not talk about this.
Okay.
I don't want to picture your family in this movie now. This is like a horrifying, like, the movie is fine, by the way. It's on the scene that I'm like not wanting to describe. It's like picturing this scene in front of like Sean's parents.
Yes. So we did not get to minute 9. Okay. And that was the movie I picked out. And there were not like fucking like, it says like R rated for like some nudity and violence, I think is what it fucking said. And it was like, oh, that's probably fine. It's a cartoon. It was not fine. Right. Like,
yeah. So. I find out Princess Mononoke was like frequently complained about, like literally the exact words where people were like, I'm going to sue Hollywood Video.
Exactly.
Right? Like, I checked this out from the kids section. It says in association with fucking Disney Ghibli, whatever the fuck a Disney Ghibli is. And it's supposed to be about like environmental conservation. And this dude is like, I fucking love when peasant heads go flying.
Yeah. But this is like, even if you think like, oh, people are today are too soft. why do you want those soft people reading your book? They're not going to be like made hard by reading it. They're just going to go on Goodreads and nuke you and then make your Amazon metrics go to shit. Like,
you're a dude that takes Helldivers 2 at face value. You want like a strong fucking, you only want to appeal to like the strong ethno class in your country anyway. You don't want the weak mongrels reading your shit.
Exactly. So you should be the most pro content warning.
Oh no, but what I was going to say though, was that like content advisory is like, fine, don't fall into the trap of being like, I'm going to assume the most extreme situation where it's all like, and on page 87 this happens like this, and there's like sample. Don't even think of it as like trigger warnings. Just be like, hey, just being fair, this is the kind of shit my book deals with, by the way. Would you say that to your mom?
Exactly. Like, wouldn't you fucking warn someone in your family before that? Like, you like, oh yeah, before you give it to your like niece, this is what's in that book, right?
My favorite part. One of my favorite parts of the Anne Rice interview book was when like she talked about her dad reading her shit.
Oh no! MJ, yeah. Did Sean tell you that my follow up research in the interview with the vampire introduced me to my brand new favorite term that I'm gonna beat into the ground?
Ooh, what? What?
Okay, somebody asked if Louis and Lestat are gay. Mm-hmm. The response was, they're not obligate homosexuals. They can't engage in sex with other genders. And I'm just fixing it. Obligate homosexuals.
They have rectangular molars for eating pussy as well as dick. Right? They've got the right tummy bacteria for digesting cum. They've got, like, it's not a problem.
You know what?
They're not like cat girls, which don't. They don't have those right tummy bacteria.
But you know what's funny is I'd also like a reverse content warning, by the way. So, like, the dude that wrote Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. Coward Robert Ford. Mm-hmm. His name is Ron Hansen, by the way. He wrote another book about a nun called Maria Full of Grace, or Full of... Maria Full of... Full of Ecstasy.
Okay. Getting a little Anne-Ricey here.
Right, now imagine a book named Maria Full of Ecstasy about a nun.
Yeah.
And and then the face is kind of like, almost like a fresco of her in a moment of like bliss. And then the book is just nun shit.
So you crack that shit open expecting it to be fucking like the Sleeping Beauty or like Belinda series with an extra big dose of Catholicism.
None of that. Look, I unironically thought that this was going to be like some sort of like, okay, because he loves writing like very stylized historical fiction. I thought this was going to be like a surprise turn of like that female duelist that from was France
awesome. yeah
that like broke into a nunnery or something like that because mm-hmm. her girlfriend was in there, and I thought like that was gonna be the reveal, and it's like, oh my god, it's just a book of nun shit. Trigger warning, boring as fuck, no sex in it. Hell.
Just fiction too historical, nothing happens.
The premise that you're discussing is also like the beginning of the book called Lucky, which I absolutely do not recommend, where like this con artist like is hiding out as a nun and then becomes an actual nun and then has the daughter who is named Lucky.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Mariette Full of Ecstasy.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh god. Okay, I got one more, because the whole thing is that they all call content warning trigger warnings the whole way through, because obviously that they like, they're saying like people are weak, and it's like no, it's you're trying to engage in filtering, right? You're like, for fans of Brandon Sanderson, here's my multi-character, multi-story fantasy epic. You're not like, for fans of Brandon Sanderson, here's my examination of like fucking like Chinese interwar poetry for 500 years, right? They're not going to be like, there wasn't one magic system in that didn't revolve around like the mandate of heaven. This sucks. This one I just want to give the title, because it's wonderful. How do I write the main character starting out as homophobic without me, the author, seeming homophobic? That's going to be pretty hard, because you're going to seem homophobic for a while. Mm-hmm. You got to have faith in your reader to like get through to the part where he's not homophobic.
You know, this type of person that... Okay, so there's like a lot of debate about divorcing like art from artist. But like, when you're struggling as the author... it's time to just rib this person and be like, maybe you're a little homophobic there, Donnie.
Mm-hmm. Chad, do you want to hear the first sentence that makes this so much better?
Oh, yeah.
The best possible first sentence you could follow this up with.
My characters are not obligate homosexuals.
No, that's actually not as good as this. I'm writing a book about a boy in wartime Germany in World War I. Okay. Ripcord, right? Just like... What? But you
isn't that always the way that somebody asks something that they've seen, like, advanced, like, fucking advanced names talk about? They're like, man, it really is a struggle to be able to write something about, like, hate. And when I myself am not a hateful person, what they're describing is, like, their novel of, like, somebody growing up in, like, I don't know, even, like, fucking Azerbaijan or something, and, like, the difference between, like, them and the Georgian that lives next door. Mm-hmm. And but, like, this person that's, like, Elaine, that is all, like, how do I write about hate without seeming, like,
a piece of shit? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, well, what's your book about? A commandant at Auschwitz.
Exactly. Yeah, that was right?
And, like, and then you look up, you're like, Donnie 88. Oh, shit.
Oh, crap. 14 Donnie 88. Oh, no.
All right. What's the name of your what's the name of your novel? 111th. Okay, out, Donnie. Oh, shit. Out.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we got time for Marjorie. You've got another beautiful poem for us. This one, like the Andrea one was like it failed in its missive, at least to us. Maybe it was better in 2012. Maybe it was great when spoken word with a fucking drum and stuff. It definitely doesn't go on Tumblr. This other one you've got though.
This one. So this is actually on Medium. I'm on mostly Substack. I have a blog, if you don't know, and on Substack I recommend other blogs about dance on Substack. So I'm like, okay, I'll see if there's also like anything on Medium, right? So I make a Medium account and
wrong.
ooh. I mean, I think I had one back in the day as a personal assistant where I like updated my boss's Medium account, but it was never like mine. So I've seen Medium, I like knew about it, I just didn't like do it.
True story. Marjorie was hired to edit and do a clean final draft of that boss's memoir and just happened to end up editing Medium posts and making smoothies. That was
and putting up and taking down her slip and slide.
Yes, that was the fucking worst thing. Holy shit.
God, 6 feet under.
And don't forget folding her underwear and putting it away.
From the concierge laundry service.
Yes. She ordered the laundry done. I didn't have to do the laundry because it's been done by someone who delivers it in a bag. But I just have to put it away in a very specific way in her like huge, huge walk-in closet.
Again, any day now, we'll get to edit that novel. Don't worry.
It was so interesting because it's about like to become like a... I'm like, please let me work on this.
Gonna have to beep some of that because there's not that many people who do that.
Okay, word. So anyway, I'm looking for cool content about dance again. And I'm looking on the dance tag, like the dance topic, I guess they're called on Medium topics. The very first thing, probably because it was only posted a day ago, is a poem about dance. And again, I will link this one. I have to like give you the link, guys, in the Discord so you can follow along because, oh my God, I'll just give you a little taste here. Play today and say ole. Do it now. Don't waste a second. Time is ticking on and on, much more than you reckoned. And I'll skip ahead a little bit. Life is short. It's time tango. Like, it's not time to tango, it's just time tango. And dance until the dawn. Stare at the stars in the sky, lying on the long.
Okay, so this is, like, what the mouse who, like, stole your favorite thimble says when you catch him in his magic kingdom. Right? Like, that's all the energy I'm getting out of this. Play today and say ole. Like, how hard were you struggling for a rhyme?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this by Donnie Donaldson. I would say that once you've caught the mouse, you then say, when you're gone, it's over. There'll be, comma, no second chance. So put on your dancing shoes. Now's the time to do a dance. That's what you tell the little mouse that stole your giant's magic carpet.
So ostensibly more about dancing than the Andrea Gibson one, but the Andrea Gibson one at least had the banger first line. Like that was and it had a couple other banger lines in there.
It had some ideas in there. Right? Yeah. This is pretty lacking an idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this doesn't quite rise to the literary achievement of Stella Luna.
But yes, self-published poetry can vary a lot, and I admire people putting their poetry out there like this, but goddamn, dude, this is...
Okay, so, like, this shit is why I'm opposed to Marxism and communism.
Okay. Because, like, they were extremely strict on poetic quality. That's one thing they had in their corner. Was
like... I'm opposed to, like, just... Okay, if you can give me a communism with gatekeepers, okay, then we're almost fucking getting somewhere. But like, dude, this,
and this was a big thing that they were like, Tovaric poetry is bad. You should write novel. Prose comrade, right? Like, that was part of why the Soviet Union was so weird about poetry.
Yeah, but Sean, you fool. You absolute nincompoop. You too date, but you did not say ole.
Also, the fact that it's called time to do is like, oh no.
The Soviet Union wasn't true communism.
Oh shit, you're right, I forgot.
Oh man, how to own a secret lib with one easy phrase.
Cuba also not true communism, has not deployed any poets, right? There's no such thing as South American poetry, but it is funny that a lot of that by communists was funded by the CIA. Which proves
Cuba did have that one poet that was gay, and so like Javier Bardem had to play him in a movie.
Mm-hmm. Required by law. Like that,
yeah, yeah. No, it's all like, okay, this guy has like a really Latin backstory. Okay, so we gotta go past Oscar Isaacs for this one. Mm-hmm. We gotta dip into the other Latino.
Yeah, we've got a second, right?
Yeah. Meanwhile, John Leguizamo was sitting there going, hey, what the fuck?
He's still mad about that fucking, like, Mario and Luigi was not good. Speaking of, I have one more, and this we have personal beef with, okay? Okay. We're on. Because I mentioned that there's trigger warnings, and the other one is, like, I hate women. Okay. As you would expect from Reddit, right? Like, big fucking shocker there, I know. And this is about women writing men, paren, and men writing women. You know, I see people often talk about men writing women, but we hardly see talk of women writing men and how it's equally as bad as the former. That's because we rarely see, like, dicks bounce lustily. That's not a thing that's often in, like...
Only on Tumblr. Only on Tumblr.
Well, okay, no, you know what else? You know what else? Here's the actual core of the issue. Like, the fucking Murakami line was like so bad that it spawned a genre. Okay.
Yes.
But like the well is kind of dry on the men writing women. Have you been to these men writing women communities, either the one on Reddit or any of the various ones that have spawned? Like, they are really fucking digging deep where they're like, hey, this guy has a female character. Does this count? Okay. Yeah. I'll bring this one in.
The thing is that they try and focus on like officially published works rather than web fiction, because web fiction, you can still absolutely find it, right? Because obviously there's a lot of men writing women in the damn shorty, are you going to do your sister like that? There's a whole subreddit for it, and it's kind of ironic to me because a lot of the people I see over there are terrible at writing the opposite sex themselves. What do you mean the people who are there? Most of them aren't writers. They're readers, right? This person is like making some like weird correlate about it where it's like, no, they're just readers and they're seeing things or they're looking for Reddit clout, same as everyone else, right? Find terrible tropes on them to be the minimum decent writing. Got any examples of this? Savior's Champion comes to mind for me. And I came at it with the heat because Savior's Champion is fucking Jenna Morrissey, who is fucking awesome, friend of the show. And this Donnie, the underscore Raven underscore Born did not say Savior's Champion comes to mind for me. They said Savior's Champion comes to Mons for me. And there is about 1,000 other failures in this. This person cannot write. They cannot write men. They cannot write women. They cannot fucking write human complete sentences. So they should maybe check themselves before they wreck themselves on the mighty glacier known as Jenna Morrissey. All right. We just had to get that out of the way.
Yeah, my high art response is, what a dick.
What a dick, yeah.
Yeah, for real.
Donnie, go over there. No, that's not a metaphor, okay? Stand underneath the sad face. Yes, that's symbolism for failure. Um, Yeah, and like broadly speaking, just it was novel when it came up, but like the way it's a culture war, like perpetuates itself in this way by being like, well, we need to find a tat for this tit. And it's like, well, no, we don't. Like, it's okay, the phenomenon of men writing women isn't interesting enough on its own to go dig up another equally boring phenomenon just because, like, your dick shrinks based on what people on the internet say.
It's also mostly relevant because, like, the number of dudes in the canon is, like, infinitely high, right? In an English language program, you're going to read, like, in a four-year English program at an R1 university, you're going to read, like, two female authors and about 400 fucking male authors, right? Seven of which are going to be Shakespeare and, like, half of which are going to be Anon. That's just facts, right? Mm-hmm. So there's less meaningful participation in the English language by, like, women's works in many ways. So it's like, of course, this is going to be, like, a thing. And it's just, like, pretty fucking harmless because it's, like, it's not like writing women like that is what stopped Murakami from getting the fucking Nobel Prize in Literature, right? It's anti-Asian racism. That's what did. Because well, the Nobel Committee is like, ah, we found a Dutch writer, and we think, for no particular reason related to where we are, that this man who has spent his whole life in Norway and never left except when he was born in Denmark is the best, or sorry, the Netherlands, is the best writer of these last 20 years. And you're like, that's a very interesting premise you just proposed there, right?
Also just very funny that he talked, that apparently the Nobel Committee talks exactly like the dudes from Spore.
Yes.
So what I'm hearing is that Everything Everywhere All at Once just needs a Scandinavia release and we'll be fine.
Literally, yes. If they release that shit in like fucking that. Well, that's the fucking thing about the Nobel Committee is that it is just a group of people who live there rather than like the World Council of shit. And I guess they fucking love Bob Dylan, right?
Regardless of what you think, like when they're like, how much are they phoning it in when they're like, okay, I know what happened is they looked over at the stack of books that they have to read and realized the deadline was coming up. And they're like, fuck, reading is boring. And I'm out of Audible credits. Hey, Bob Dylan wrote some bangers. Why don't we just, some dude sold me his harmonica. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And all these Rothkos, I have one last rant before I do a speed run. My last rant comes from I stumbled on this one. I myself am in a Dostoevsky mood because I'm reading through Brothers Karamazov, and you may be saying, Chad, have you been reading that for a long time? Yeah, have you fucking
it's
seen
fucking
Brothers
long.
Karamazov?
It's huge, my God!
Like, this book doesn't fucking stop!
I was talking to my brother about it, and he's like, yeah, you think I should read The Power Broker? And I'm like, yeah, you should, but it is, in fact, like, 1,300 pages long. So it's not a thing that you kind of decide to do in, like, a finite amount of time. Reading The Power Broker is something that you kind of engage with. It's now part of your life, right? Yeah. You go through identifactory process of being reading The Power Broker for a decade or two.
Yeah, so I stumbled on this one from r/writing. I woke up to this message after a night of heavy drinking. I've been reading a fair amount of Dostoevsky, so I imagine I was trying to replicate the vibe. Does someone want to critique my writing? I'd appreciate it. Okay, so first of all, real talk. The only reason you equated with Dostoevsky is because you woke up and you went Russian drink a lot. I bet that was a pretty Russian writing that I did. Like, you low-key did a Russian fucking racism. Just admit that right there. And then I'm not going to read it. It's garbage. Like, the opening line is fear breeds anger. Oh, shut the fuck up.
Oh, fucking God. That's literally Yoda speaking.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. No, I'll read some of it. Those who are sheltered from it feel cheated when forced to confront it. It rots and poisons thoughts, but fear at first is worse than a sick mind. It just fucking goes on. This shit, we hide our weaknesses. We, despite being so publicly exposed to it, this reminds me of that fucking person who was like, I want to write the premier Antifa novel that's going to like blow the lid off everything, like including religion. And it's like, dude, this is not 1932. Okay.
Yeah, you can't like make the moral majority super mad. Like,
you can't. Like you are too late to this fucking party. And like, this is the same thing where like, he has this vibe. He wants to be a Dostoevsky-esque person. So he wrote like this crap about like being angry about things. Meanwhile, like Dostoevsky was like actually scared and angry about things going on in Russia, like specific things. But that led me down like this Dostoevsky rabbit.
the Zone Storyevsky, as it's sometimes called.
Yeah, how to write crime fiction with no real world experience, and somebody recommends Dostoevsky, and I'm like, okay, hang on, that is so just reading the headline, dude.
Yeah, I also like to put a little loop in my jacket where I hold my axe to kill my landlord, fucking horrible landlord who lives upstairs. That's my fucking whole life.
How to write like Dostoevsky? Is there any book that teaches how to write a novel in detail? And it's like, okay,
learn Cyrillic is usually a good first step.
Yeah. So like, first of all, those are two like very different questions. This is kind of that we're deep in the like, okay, yes, they're both like canines, but like they're not the same canine. Okay. You just used actual practical writing and Dostoevsky in the same conceptual writing style. I don't know what that sentence means.
He does use practical writing a lot. Yeah. Like
this. Dostoevsky used polyphony, multiple narrative voices, and multiple character perspectives all at the same time. Holy shit, I wish another author at any point in history had ever had multiple character perspectives.
Yeah, that would have been fucking crazy. I hope like someone figures out how to do that. Oh wait, everyone does. Like literally that's the fucking normative.
Then he slams down. I'd start with the basics. The elements of style and on writing by King. Jesus fucking Christ, you guys are like fucking you are just laudanum slinging 19th century doctors of the writing world.
Yeah, you seem bummed. You should do some opium about it. Yeah. Oh, your heart sounds bad too. You know what would probably help that out? Got some opium here. It says we're pretty good.
And then for those that have read Crime and Punishment, first time reading Dostoevsky, and I'm about 45 pages into this novel. Keep going. You're not ready for questions yet. Keep going. I'm finding that his dialogue sequences are extremely long-winded. Okay, yeah, so you found Dostoevsky.
Yeah,
Does this persist throughout the novel? Oh, way past the novel, dude. Some say he's still talking in his grave.
His corpse just rattling along.
Yeah. But then somebody totally misidentifies it. Novels were held to a different stylistic standard back then. People could write concisely if they wanted to or needed to. But before the advent of fast-paced cinematic TV storytelling, people were more used to long-form meandering narratives. No,
shut the fuck up! It was published fucking as a serial, right? Like, it's literally like month to month. It was fucking Dostoevsky Jump. It's like, what's gonna happen to fucking like Naruto Karamazov next week, right? Like, holy fuck!
Yeah, like fucking spare me this shit. Of like, well, you have to understand, like, put away the calipers, right?
But like, literally, it's like people don't understand that like literature was in fact like people joke about like Lobotomy Kaisen now because they're not getting new issues of Jujutsu Kaisen fast enough. It was literally like Lobotomy Karamazov where people were getting weird about it in fucking like month between issues, right? Like, oh my god.
Yeah, well, somebody responds to this by going, allegedly Dickens was paid by the word.
Allegedly.
No, not allegedly.
That was real.
In the words of a poet, Meinhard Brent, this shit is fucking wild. This shit is wild. I love how to write like Dostoevsky. Well, you have to shut up. How to write crime fiction with no real world experience. Well, Dostoevsky wrote a book that had crime in the title.
And
so I think
possibly even punishment.
About it.
Who knows?
What made him good? Well, you have to be able to speak Russian in order to understand. No, like, it's really good, guys. And then we're not gonna get too Dostoevsky-ish about Donnie discovering Dostoevsky. But it is rustling my jimmies. I have, how could 30 or so slaves jeopardize a battle occurring in the city they are enslaved to, set in medieval Europe inspired world? Just don't write this.
Yeah.
Don't write this story. Don't write any story. Go to the library and read things.
Read anything.
Yeah. What was the worst story you ever wrote as a child? Chad meets Laura Croft. Writing depresses me. Then stop. What are your hard-won writing truths? None of them. Just hit 40,000 words. Woohoo. Good job, Donnie.
What worked for me yesterday is not working today. Consult later, right? Like, that's a hard one, writing truth.
Writing cool protagonists kills all tension. Then you suck at writing cool protagonists.
What the fuck do you mean by that?
Right? Like, yeah, not at all.
When do you stop prep and start writing? When I'm done prepping.
When you're no longer when you're no longer intending to engage in like unprotected gay sex, how's that?
I suppose we could go further. Like when the enema's done. Next, let's see. So there's an old interview of Robert Pattinson. I don't care. Showing possessiveness when a noun ends with S.
Oh no, what? Marjorie!
Oh, this is a deep cut. This is too deep for my. Oh god, my style guide at work like requires me to add an extra S if the word ends in S and it's possessive, and it kills my soul every time. And I use Google Docs and they correct it, and so I have like my boss being like,
"Stupid!
Oh,
you don't want to write like that. Like, don't write like an asshole. What?" And you're like, "No, I have to on a professional basis.
They pay me for this bullshit. I'm sorry."
Mm-hmm. How to avoid accidentally / unintentionally writing a hate sink. Don't write hate sinks.
What? Yeah.
Just don't do that. How good is the idea of a lower class member becoming the very thing he hated?
I don't know, every other novel known to man. Like, what?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, fucking write like an ogre of the. Never mind. It sucks. Balancing building a career in writing with the day job.
What
the fuck was his name that wrote Ulysses that really liked his smelly girlfriend?
James Joyce.
James Joyce.
Yeah, there we go. James Joyce was a clerk. Writing in first person is tricky. Sure is. 10 things I wish I knew as a beginner writer. Awesome.
Are you still a beginner writer?
Avoiding being preachy. Just don't preach. Am I getting too invested in my characters? Yes. What makes a book good? IDK, how to write a book. Help. No. I think my story's ending is too similar to something else. Okay.
Then make it different or don't, right?
I'll do three more after this, but I'll actually give this one the Chad treatment. I think my story's ending is too similar to something else. Go Chad mode. Do it better and tell him to get fucking used to it. Unironically, have the dude drop the Kobayashi cup, have Kaiser Soze walk out, and then stare at the camera and go, "Mine's better, bitch," and then get in the car and drive off.
No more limbs, just walking, yeah.
Yeah, buried thoughts, leave them buried. The unspoken rule that fantasy stories should be a grand undertaking. It's not unspoken. Get off that Discord server. Tell me your characters voice claims. I'll start. Don't give characters voice claims.
What? Yeah. That's some serious like nth level like Tumblr shit where you're like
if I click this Donnie's fucking name and go deep enough down the rabbit hole, I will find a fucking Wunsler account
there. Yeah, the warrior cats are like one click away. You're a 0 degrees of Kevin Bacon away from a warrior cat. That's what's happening.
Content warning: more is of the past 30 years of film. Who should die in a horror story? The black guy. I haven't read much lately, but that's all I've got.
Okay.
I want to write a children's book. Don't write that guy's horror story.
Jesus wept. Okay, I think that has been to the people. Marjorie, you don't have a secret third poem, right?
Oh, no. I'm good with those two. Like, okay. That is totally all I had.
I was hoping there was a Tumblr 9/11 poem, but that we're going to have to live with that.
I tried to today, but KSA Olayed the sachet of my heart in the two towers.
Oh, no. Fuck, you did it.
No.
Okay. So, Jesus, even after this, if you want to support us for hearing more of this or to participate in actual writing like discourse, which we do with the hashtag and with the capital D, you know, we love our what's the name of the thing where you capitalize all your cool words? Romantic capitalization? No, romantic capitalization, right? Where you're like...
No, it's called Donnyization. This needs more Donny.
Donnyization. I thought that's where you like are asking like if it's okay to include like childhood sexual assault in your character's backstory as a surprise. That's also what Donnyification is.
I also just realized that I can tie this poem into a 9/11 cinematic masterpiece by like continuing... The sachet, my world was gray until my flowers bloomed, and it's okay today.
Oh, there we go. Yeah,
there we go. Yeah.
Don't dig into that one.
Or do it. Like, if you have ever thought that Sean Penn is right about anything, watch that movie.
God. Okay. So I have to escape Donnie. In the description for this episode, there will be a link to all of our socials, including the Discord, where you can talk to us. You can submit things that you have found that are shitty for Reddit to be read in this format dramatically and possibly even answered if the question does have a similar but better question that we could substitute in there, or if it has particularly shitty answers we can talk about. But in that link tree, there will also be, much more importantly, there will be a link to contribute to us directly. We have good news. Meow is doing great. She has a new pizza box, right?
Yep, she sure does.
But the thing about pizza boxes is that they get old, right?
Yeah.
Pizza boxes don't last forever, and she will need a replacement pizza box sooner rather than later. You can help out with that through our Ko-fi. If you want to donate to us, help us keep this show alive, that is the best way. But if you want to help us in other ways, leave a like, recommend this episode to a friend, leave a positive review wherever you're listening. Every time you do that, that helps us be seen by another set of eyes somewhere else on Earth, and really keeps us motivated to keep this going. But above all else, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.